Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. And truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have on the line tonight with me my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G., you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Amen. It's glad to be able to get back together on more Thursday. Thank God for bringing us to another week, and we're grateful for being able to get together and study the Word one more time. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila G., we are getting into chapter 12 of the book of Acts, and it is interesting to see how the early church would get together and pray. And they didn't have fancy church buildings and big places of worship, but they would get together in their homes and they would pray, and they would pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
And through this avenue of prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, they were able to do spiritual warfare with the enemy. And, you know, we talk about spiritual warfare. We look at that book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Spiritual warfare is something that you can't see, but you know is there. And so you're waging war in the spirit realm to be able to combat the things that are happening in the physical realm. And as we see the constant persecution of the church, we see the constant prayer of the church, and the constant persecution of the church is overcome by the constant prayer of the church to carry out God's plan in the earth. And we've gone chapter after chapter in the book of Acts where we see persecution, we see faithfulness of God's people, and then you see God's plan carried out with people being saved and people being delivered. And you see that constant theme. But it's interesting in this particular chapter that we see the church praying, and they're praying in the house, and it is effective to the point where God intervenes with his angel and delivers Peter from the hand of King Herod, who was a political and religious hack that tried to pitch the political leaders and the religious leaders against the Christian church. And so it's important that we as a church understand that we have to pray without ceasing to be effective in the spiritual warfare that will overcome the persecution of the church and allow God's plan to come through to fruition. Sheila G.
Amen. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And it's important that we pray, and we pray without ceasing, because that's how we communicate with God, and that's how we receive a message from God. You know, a lot of times God will put while you're praying, he'll put somebody on your heart or on your mind, and you'll pray for that person, and then also you'll be led to reach out to that person. And I know that it's happened to me, like I'll either send a text or pick up a call and, you know, just send a song or something like that, or words of encouragement, and then you get that response back that, you know what, I needed that. I needed that right on time. So it's that constant thing of the person praying for themselves, but when we have intercessory prayer where we pray for others, that can also help build that person up, because that persecution is for real. Satan loves his job, and the more prayer, the more power you have to overcome the enemy. But we have to have that love and compassion for one another so that we're just not praying, gimme, 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 it's all about me. It's important for us to pray for others, even more so than we pray for ourselves, because we're going to pray for their peace, for their strength. And that's usually what I pray for, is for that person to have peace, strength, and joy, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And that's how they will get through. And, you know, you can feel that power of prayer when you're going through. And that's why we say, y'all pray for me. Pray that I get through this. You know, just pray my peace in the Lord. That is for real. And then having that response from God as to what to pray for, who to pray for, to touch and help that individual, and then it gets reciprocated by other people praying for you as well.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, what Sheila G was saying was that prayer sustains us in the midst of what we're going through. And we'll pick up in chapter 12, verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And so, Dr. G, it's like, even though he was in a bad spot, undesirable spot, he was able to maintain his faith and his witness for God, even in an undesirable spot, Dr. G.
Well, yeah, and as Sheila was saying, it's through the prayers of the righteous that, and it says, availeth much. And in Peter's case, it was actually sustaining him. But what people don't fail to understand is that prayer is, you know, that's the key that unlocks the power source. The power source comes from God through the Holy Spirit. And when you're praying, you're actually communicating with the Lord. And when your focus is on God, that you're not worried about what the enemy is doing, but you're just praying for peace, strength, and joy, as Sheila was saying, that keeps your focus on God. So you're communicating with the Lord.
Amen. And it's so key that it is, I think sometimes people miss it, Sheila G, is that when we're communicating with God like that and people are being strengthened, and like you say, you can feel people praying for you, you can feel the strength that the people are praying for you, and like Dr. G said, it unlocks the power source. And so the power of God is strengthening those individuals that are whatever we stand in need of. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and he makes intercession for us. So whatever we stand in need of, there's a power source, like Dr. G was saying, that gives us the ability to stand in spite of what's going on. And now Peter understood that John was put to death and that Herod was playing religion, playing politics, and he had got away with killing John. And so now he was coming after Peter. And so Peter knew that in the morning that he would be tried, or was supposed to be tried, and he was supposed to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the church was praying. And so because the church was praying and unlocking the power source, the spiritual warfare tide turned toward Peter, and God intervened on his behalf. Sheila G.
Amen. And then by God intervening, God gets the glory out of that. So it's yeah. like one of those win-win situations. And as you were talking about it, as I started thinking about when you and I were kids, and we both tended to be on the unhealthy side. And we had a praying mama. We had a praying grandmama. Ooh. We had some praying aunts. And we could be feeling really, really bad. But because of that prayer, that's what sustained us and brought us through all of our sicknesses. And as we got on the other side, here we are now able to give God the glory. But had we not had that prayer that sustained us and gave us the strength, because both of us, there were times we were sick that we could have just given up and just said, forget it. But we knew that, you know, Mom would lay hands on us, and we knew that Grandma was praying for you, Grandma Kayson, Grandma Smith. We knew our aunts and uncles were praying for us. And that just gave you that spark to continue on. And just like this thing where Peter, we knew we were sick. We knew we felt bad. We knew that we didn't know what was going to happen, just like Peter knew that he was in a bad situation. So we knew we were in bad state. But because of that prayer, it just gave us that hope to hang on in there. And because we hung on in there, then we got to the other side. Now God continuously gets the glory out of that.
Amen. And Dr. G, I often hear you say that I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to get myself upset. I'm just going to pray on you. And you come from a place of experience to realize that how effective, it might seem like it's not powerful, but how powerful prayer is, Dr. G.
You're right, and I mean, I think about that often because as a youngster, you know, even in my early 20s and started pastoring, you know, Negroes would pluck your nerve. Your first, inclination is to fight back. But I learned that rather than get mad, get upset, you know, the key was just being cool, calm, and collected, and I prayed. I put them in the hands of the Lord, just like with all this mess going on with Agent Orange. I tell folks, look, we got something to do. We get out and vote. I'm praying on him. And, you know, I'm praying that the Lord would have his way with boyfriend. And within the last couple of weeks, his little kingdom has been dismantled. Then when I go back and I think about Jessica, you know, when she was first with spinal bifida, and we had no idea what that was. I mean, the doctors told us what could happen, what might happen. She did. I mean, and that girl had, 11, 12 surgeries in her life. But from the day that we got that diagnosis, we started praying. I had churches praying for her. And when she came out, she had a hole in her back. I watched that little girl from day one turn her head side of the other, just before they wheeled her over to Children's Hospital to do the operation to close her back. So prayer is something that you can't see it. All you know is that you believe and trust in the one that you're praying to, God will intervene. And then what, some 21 years later, I look at where she go back and
come on,
what
Jesus.
They said she couldn't do or what
come
might
on, Jesus.
That was nobody but the grace of God. But if we hadn't prayed,
that's right.
Hey,
all of
come on,
would
man.
Not have happened. Sheila and I would not have had the strength to deal with that child and raise her in the way that the Lord wanted. So prayer has a way of comforting you and giving you strength to carry on in spite of.
Amen. Sorry.
Sheila G?
I said you want to follow up on that?
Oh yeah, I definitely, and I've seen that with all of us, all of our children, and how whether they got into trouble or whether like you know, I had James with the asthma where from 2 months out he had a difficulty breathing just like you did as a child, and just things like, you know, you pray for your kids, you want them to grow up, you want them to do what they need to do, but they're going to do what they got to do. So you put them in God's hands, you pray for them, and you go on about their business. They fall down, but they get up because we put that foundation. Mm-hmm. And every time they get in trouble, they would always come back and say, well, I prayed. I'm like, well, you need to pray before you start doing that to get the right answer. But at least they're understanding the power of prayer, and that's what we need to, that's what needs to happen more and more, because that is a powerful, powerful tool against the enemy, is that prayer.
Amen. 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 And so in that verse 5, Acts 12, verse 5, it says, Peter, I'm reading the King James now, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So there's this thing of a continual prayer, and I think sometimes churches, I think sometimes people think that prayer is just when you're at church, and
mm-hmm.
and we leave gaps, and when you leave gaps, and there's not this constant wall of prayer, that gives openings for the enemy to come in. And I think that's what happens with young people, and it happens with young adults, and even some as they get older as seniors. But as people mature in the Lord, what happens is they realize the importance of continual prayer and understand that it's not just for 5 minutes on Sunday morning or 2 minutes on Sunday morning, but it's a daily thing all day long that you're in constant prayer. You always have someone on your mind. You're always turning to the Lord, thinking about someone's situations, whatever it is. And the church collectively will have that continual prayer without ceasing. That helps to cause those gaps to get smaller. And I think if the church realized that we will pray more, people that don't want to get on the prayer line, people that don't want to come to Bible study, if they would understand that it's not about them,
right,
and realize that it's about God and helping someone else, realizing that because somebody else stood in the gap, that they are able to be as successful as they are right now, I think we would have more blessings. People would receive more blessings, and the word of God would spread even more. But I think that the enemy tries to throw so much stuff at us that people feel like they just give up. Prayer is not helping. Prayer won't work. Why should I pray? It doesn't seem like it changes things. But if you know that you got to keep praying, pray without ceasing, that means that it's continual. And when that brother's praying and that sister's praying and when that church is praying, the gaps are smaller. And we're able to sustain through and sustain people through the most challenging issues of their lives. Like you said, we were very ill when we were small, but we were able to be sustained because
right.
of the people in the church that were praying. You
That's
know,
right.
With our children, they were able to be sustained because of the prayers of the church. Even
mm-hmm.
now, during pandemic, during COVID, people are able to sustain because of the prayer of the church that's going out without ceasing. And it's just so important to know that it transcends buildings. It transcends day or night. A prayer can go up at any time of the day. And
mm-hmm.
and because it's that unlimited, that's what Jesus said, you know, and when he taught his disciples how to pray, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And so he understands the power. Jesus understood the power of prayer and how it helped him to endure the trial and the crucifixion of the cross. And the church needs to get back to that. It needs to get back to filling in those gaps so people can stand and people can be sustained through their most challenging times. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were talking about when you were first mentioned about our young people and young adults understanding about prayer and prayer without ceasing, that's why it's important that we allow our children in church to pray. You know, we all have this
Amen.
Portion on our program that we've had forever where we had youth prayer. And we would ask the kids as little as 2 years old, and even if they're just saying, I'm praying for my mom, I'm praying for my dad, they're starting
mm-hmm.
young
mm-hmm.
to know how I can communicate with God from my heart. I can, and we even now with Zoom, like they did video recordings, and you had these little kids saying things like, I pray for those that had the coronavirus, I pray for those that are sick.
Mm.
It becomes automatic. It becomes a part of who they are. So like I said, even as they grow older and they may, you know, go out and do their thing, but they know
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God will forgive them. They know how to ask for forgiveness, but they know that it doesn't have to be this thing where you have to have a formalized prayer. You could just say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to pass that test. Lord, please help me
Amen.
To pass. I mean, I know when I first got my driver's license, I was like, Lord, I failed it the first time. But I was like, Lord, when I go the second time, please help me to pass. You know, and that was just at a young age. And we need to instill that into our children and to our new church converts, that you don't have to be so self-righteous to talk to God. You can, you know, we need to teach more, we need to pray more and judge less. We need to be able to be that proper example of you don't put God on a shelf and then just ask him when you're in trouble. You talk to him every day. Good morning, Lord. Thank
mm-hmm.
you. That's why we have the
mm-hmm.
prayer journal. We'll do that prayer journal type thing. Good morning, Lord. How you doing? I'm not feeling so well today, but help me to get through this day and help me to deal with these crazy people. So you can talk to
mm-hmm.
God just you talk to anybody else, so that you do develop that relationship. And once everybody around you, including the children of the church, have
Amen.
that knowledge of I can talk to God at any time. I remember it was like years ago, Aaron was like 6 years old, and we were coming down Forestville Road, and there was a house on fire. And he was just going on about his business, and he asked me, he said, can we pray for those people? And I remember it took me by surprise because I'm like, well, how does a 6 year old know that to pray because he knew that somebody was in trouble? And it took me by surprise. So I told him, I said, well, you go ahead and pray. And that little 6 year old boy prayed like an old deacon for the people, everybody in that house. And that's the type of prayer God wants us to humble ourselves, come to him, talk to him. And when all of us do that on one accord, that is extremely
mm-hmm.
powerful.
Amen. And I remember as a I don't know if it was in first grade or kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
but before we would all go out to school and
yep.
actually go to work, we would gather in that foyer,
yep.
gather on the steps or in
mm-hmm.
the living room, and we would hold hands.
Yeah.
And we would pray.
Yeah.
And it was
yep.
it was just something that
formal.
I remembered that gave me a sense of assurance.
Right.
That I didn't have to be afraid of what was outside that door.
Right. Right.
Because
exactly.
we prayed. And, you know, we encourage everyone in the church to develop that personal relationship with God, because, you know, nobody, no pastor, no preacher, no church member is going to be with you physically every day. Only God can be with you physically every day in his spirit. But you can talk to him, and you can rest assured that God hears your prayer, and he'll answer. And it brings you a peace. It brings you a comfort to know that, this is a crazy day. Yeah, this is painful. Yeah, this is terrible news. I need to talk to my friend.
Right.
You know, and then there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one.
Not one.
We sang that church. Our church sang a song on Sunday of all because we, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And it just ministered, that song ministered to our church on Sunday. But it's so important, Dr. G, for us in this time of global pandemic, for people to realize that, you know, don't get caught up in a building. And you know, people, I know pastors and people in churches have gone back into their building, and some of them gotten sick and some of them died because they had to be in a building. And prayer transcends building. I mean, if you look at this during biblical times, you know, when Peter was being ministered to by these folks that were praying, they were praying at house.
Amen.
Yeah.
They weren't in a big mega church or small church building, but they realized they were the church, and they realized that they didn't need a building to pray and to worship and to carry out what God has left on record for us to do. Dr. T.
Well, you know, I think we have we've become a society so sophisticated and so sedity that little things like prayer, you know, we've forgotten. While you all were talking, I was sitting there thinking about a song that says, "Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me." And when I go back in my own life, I mean, I do it every single day. You know, when I get up, Lord, thank you. And then when I get in that car, you know, I'm talking with the Lord. Lord, grant me traveling mercies up the road and back. Because what I see early in the morning, them people are crazy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
I mean, you know, folk are speeding. I mean, they come up on you. You know, they in a hurry, going nowhere. So I pray, Lord, keep me, help me. And then all during the day, thank you, Lord, for getting me here. And then dealing with this COVID, and, you know, they've cut the people. They're still, the enemy is still in the midst. So, Lord, keep my tongue. Don't let me go off. And he keeps in a certain mind frame. Now, I can greet people, hello, how are you, do my job, do whatever I have to do, with a smile on my face. And then when it's time to come on home, the same thing. So, you know, prayer is something that will help relieve the stress. And you're right, if more people within the church would understand that, you know, rather than get depressed, I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm taking medicine for high blood, but I said I will not let people distress me to the point where I have a heart attack and leave on out of here. So I pray for them. I pray for folk in the church. I pray on them, and I pray for them. She'll laugh at me, but I do. And it helps to keep my mind focused on the Lord. And all during the day, you're right, you know, me and the Lord going to have a conversation. So, no, that daily praying without ceasing. And as you said, it's just talking with the Lord, communicating. But it's not a gimme, gimme, gimme thing all the time.
Amen. So we pray that people would look at the word and see how important prayer played the role it played in the early church. It played a huge role,
right,
to help sustain the early church during the times of persecution. And during the time of persecution, that's when the church grew. That's where people's roots got dug deeper. That's when people got on their knees. That's when people didn't depend on man, but they depended on God. And they knew God was going to bring them through, and so they just prayed that they would be able to endure until God brought them through. So let's go to verse 6, Acts 12, verse 6. And I know folk want to jump in on prayer, so we're going to hit verse 6. And I just have a feeling that people want to share their testimony about prayer tonight. So I'm going to hit the verse 6 and let folks talk about prayer, because I know folks are on fire. I know they've been praying during this COVID thing and praying for family members and praying for children and deliverance and all that stuff. And I think we'd hit a hot topic tonight.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're gonna hit verse 6, but in chapter 11 we talked about the aha moment,
mm-hmm,
with Cornelius and Peter, and now we're talking about the Cornelius and Peter, and now we're hitting the won't he do it moment.
Right.
With Peter, and we talked about that last week. But in verse 6 it says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And we need to get some more context, so I'm going to keep reading it. It says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand.
Mm.
And so the church was praying without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord showed up.
Yep.
And he had his chains. He was delivered from the hand of the enemy.
Amen.
Laid in the midnight hour. And so this lets us know that the change is gonna come in the midst of your praise and prayer.
Yep.
Change is gonna come in the midst of you acting in faith.
Yep.
In other words, that's what releases the power. That's what allows you to be able to experience the power of God, is that you're being faithful even when you don't have it. In other words, what you're saying is, God, I know who you are and I know what you can do. And so
right.
In the midst of this, I'm still going to praise you. I'm still
yep.
going to pray. I'm going to pray
that's
for
right.
my brother. I'm going to pray for my sister.
That's right.
Even though they might be going through right now, they might be not doing the things that are pleasing in your sight, or they might be in a situation, so God, I'm going to get on my knees, I'm going to get in my prayer closet, I'm going to pray in
yep.
my car, God, wherever
yep.
you need me to pray, I'm going to pray, and God, while I'm praying, I'm leaning and depending on you, and know that in the midst of my prayer, come on now,
yeah.
you're going to get the victory, you're going to get delivered, they're going to recover from that illness, they're going to recover from this, they'll be delivered, they'll be able to
yep.
see the chains drop
yeah.
off, they'll be able to understand, amen, that there is a God in heaven, come on,
that's,
that
amen.
Can deliver.
That's right.
I wasn't supposed to preach tonight, so I'm not going to preach tonight.
Telling the truth, he will turn it around. In the midnight hour, Mama used to say, you get on your knees and you pray, and when your knees wear out, she'll sit on your butt. You just keep on praying
Whoa.
And pray your way through. You will have peace. The storm is still going to be there. Emotionally, you may be unhappy, but you will have the joy because you know you're not by yourself. You know that God is going to bring you. You know that you may be snotting and crying, but God is going to deliver you from this, deliver you one way or another. You're going to get out of it. And whoever,
Hallelujah.
Like, if you're praying for somebody, you know that God is going to give them the strength to make it through as well, so that you can be like a Job and say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. whatever God's will is, but I'm okay with that, whether my friends are talking about me, whether my spouse is talking about me, whether I figure out what I've done wrong, even when I come to you, Lord, and I'm like, I don't understand it. I'm trying to do the best I can, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm going to believe you. And if nothing else, after the snotting and the crying and emotions, you just have that peace of God. That it's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we're going to get through it. God's going to take us through it. We're going to be all right. You know, it may be rough right now, but it doesn't look like what it looks like. You know, Dad used to always say this living business, this living business.
Yeah.
It's but if you got that prayer, you got that power of prayer, and you feel that touch of the Lord on you, somehow, some way, you just know that you just have that peace. I got the peace. I got that peace like a river. I can't explain it. I can't tell you about it, but it's an unhappy situation. But I got joy. I got peace. I got strength. But it's coming from that praise and that prayer that is so powerful. That is just supernatural. It's not something that you can claim, touch, feel. It's just that supernatural knowledge that God got you.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. G, while you were talking about the 12 surgeries of Jessica and what God has done for her in 21 years, that was just so. It was just so powerful. You said, "Well, she turned that way," and you know they went ahead and touched her. It was just like, you know, took her to surgery, and like you had this calm and understanding it was in God's hand. And that is what people don't understand. You gotta experience that for yourself, Dr. G. It's like I can't articulate it. I can't let you know how I can tell you about it, but you gotta experience it for yourself. In other words, the old saints used to say, you gotta know God for yourself. You gotta know what he's done. You gotta know that he's the one that's going to bring you to, and that will give you the peace, Dr. G.
Well, you know, you were saying that because I do remember that day. And one of the young deacons at that time, you know, him and his wife came over to the hospital to comfort me. And, you know, I thought, I'm fine. You know, I had prayed on it. I was there at Children's with her because Sheila was still over at Washington Hospital Center. But the whole time, I was at peace because I was in prayer. And I trusted God. I knew the Lord was going to make a way for the child. He did not bring us this far just to leave her or take her. So, you know, like you say, it's amazing how God will give you that inner peace where you don't have to worry, you don't have to get all beside yourself. And even if you do shed a few tears, it's okay. The Lord says weep may endure but a night, but joy will come in the morning. So, but that's a way to release that pressure. But you know, I've learned the art of praying. And what I tell folks, if you can't do anything else, pray. Talk to the Lord. Why worry about it? I see young folks all distressed and get depressed over life. And I tell them, look, call me. You know, let me pray for you. Let me work with you.
Yeah.
They don't forget. Yeah. They want to hold on to that junk. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse to be distressed over stuff that I can't control. I give it to the Lord, and I let the Lord work it out. Every day when I get up, I'm at peace. I told Sheila when they started this whole furlough, look, if they furlough me, fine. I don't care. It's almost time for retirement anyhow. But they kept me. And in my mindset, Lord, whatever your will is, let it be done. And so I just keep praying, and I trust God for the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to let these worshipers, these callers, tell us about their prayer and trusting God, prayer answering. So we're going to go to our first caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
truly, I believe in the power of prayer and what God can do. He has proved himself so many times, from the healing of my son when he was a baby. He developed eczema, asthma, and he had a skin condition, and having to work and take care of him, and he was up all night long and just scratching and, you know, just being irritated, and then having asthma, I had to go to Children's Hospital all the time, and I went through this with him up till he was 12 years old.
Yep.
And I thank God that I had a praying mother. And
every
summer, my son would go home. And my mother, she believed in the power of all praying and anointing. She prayed. And the Lord healed my son and eczema. And I'm just so grateful. And then I have so many experiences where the Lord has healed me. And the pastor with this prayer line, I've seen God work miraculous. I've seen God just working with the many people that call in. And they are different ages, different stages in their ministry, in their Christian growth. But just see how the Holy Spirit worked with each one of them is just so amazing. And the thing is, and we often share, all of us got some problems, you know.
That's right.
But when we get on that line, you would think there's nothing wrong with us. And we give God the glory because he allowed us to intercede for other people, even though we're going through. And a lot of time, most of us, we've had bad nights. You know, we might share, you know, I didn't sleep. You know, I was hurting, I'm tired. But the Lord let us press our way. And I give him the glory for that because it has helped us so very much. And one of the experiences I want to share, because sometimes we take so much for granted, and I had to have a procedure a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't really a difficult procedure, but it was the preparation that I had to go through. And I had had it about 3 or 4 times, but I had never had the experience like I had this time. And I got sick, and I was in the bathroom, and I was about to pass out. And I was just praying to the Lord, please don't let me pass out in this bathroom because there's nobody here in this house but me. And I was just praying to him, please help me, help me. And the Lord spoke to me. I had a paper towel on the sink. Run some cold water, put the paper towel on your face. And so I did, and I came through. And then I threw up. And so I called my son. I told my son, I said, you have to come over here and help me and help me clean up. So I said, I don't want my son come over here seeing me looking the way this way with everything all messed up, and I'm messed up. So I took a quick shower. In the process of taking a shower, I slipped and fell in the bathroom because the bathroom floor was all messed up from me getting sick. And so I couldn't get up off the bathroom floor. So I prayed. I prayed. At first, my first reaction was start crying. Lord, help me, please. I began to pray and ask the Lord to help me get up off the bathroom floor. Because I did not want my son to come over and see me in the in that condition, unclothed on the bathroom floor. And so the Lord showed me how to crawl from the bathroom to the second bedroom and pull up. And when my son come over, of course, you know, he could tell that I had gotten sick. But the Lord had allowed me to be able to put my clothes on so he wouldn't come in and see me looking like that. And get some of this stuff cleaned up. And I am so grateful to God because God answered his people prayer. He will take care of his own. And I will never forget that because people sometimes have simple procedures. And when they end up falling, hurting themselves, and I passed out in the bathroom, I could have hit my head, anything. My son would have never known because he was due to come over here at 6:30. And he wouldn't have never known. So I knew it was just God that kept me from passing out.
That's right.
And so I just thank God for his hand of mercy. These are the things that he do that strengthen us and help us. And I will never forget that because I had never experienced anything like that. But I prayed, and it was just, Lord, help me. It won't no faster. Praying or nothing.
Come on now. Come on.
Lord, I need you now. And so there come times in our life where we just got to say, Jesus, I need your help, you know. No fancy praying or nothing. Just call on him in the day of trouble, and he will answer you. Hallelujah. He will answer. And so I know the power of prayer, and I still pray and ask that the Lord will keep me humble, keep seeking his face, and not only praying for me, but praying for others, for other people who need prayer. And today, Sister Mary Lee buried her son, and she was just in my spirit all day. I was just, you know, just saying prayers for her. You know, it wasn't on my knees all the time, but just saying, Lord, strengthen her. You know, when I would think about Lord, strengthen her family. And this is what we have to do. And I'm going to say this, then I'm going to go. And I tell my grandson, I said, you know, and I told my son, I said, you know, you don't have to close your eyes. I said, you can pray. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You don't have to be closing your eyes and doing all these long prayers, because it's going to come a time when all you're going to be able to do is say, Jesus.
Hey,
and you can pray right there in that classroom. You can pray anywhere you are. Man don't have to know that you're praying.
Right.
You can pray in the spirit. Pray to God. Sit there praying in the spirit, and God would answer, and man don't even have to know it. So for people to say that I cannot pray because they have taken prayer out of school, and I can't pray in the workplace, and I can't pray here, it's an excuse, because you can pray anytime, anywhere, and nobody has to know that you are praying, because you are praying to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, prayer. I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in God. And I know that when I pray, when you pray and you believe in God, you believe in who you're praying to, you can't nothing touch that. I mean, that's the most powerful thing in the world, because God knows that your prayer's righteous. And just like they were saying before, the prayers of the righteous avail of much, because they do.
Yeah.
Because God knows you are, and what you pray for, you believe in what you pray for, and you believe in who you praying to.
That's right. Because
you know that when your back is against that wall, I've been through many a time.
Come on.
And you can't see no way. He's coming for you, and he's going to make a way out of no way. He's
done
it for me several times. Because he knows I believe in him, and I trust in him, and I'm going to wait on him, and he's going to do what his will tells him to do, but it's going to be what's best for me. And, you know, when you're praying for people, it's the same thing. God is going to allow you to say all the things that you need to say, because he knows your heart. He knows that you are a believer and you believe in him. And prayer is the most wonderful thing in the world. Sometimes I just sit up in here, like the lady just said. You cry sometimes, but you letting all that out because you letting God know that you believe in him and you trust in him, and you know that whatever turns out is for your best. You might can't see it for your best, but that's he got your will in, and he got what's best for you into it. So prayer is a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that I had a praying mother too. And Jesus knows. He knows you believe in him. He knows you trust in him, and he's going to do everything that his word says he's going to do, he's going to do it. So I'm thankful that I can pray. And you don't have to be on your knees, just like you can be anywhere you want to be.
That's right.
If you pray to God and see, won't he bring you through? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last four digits, 3343. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Lord. The word prayer, oh, my God, it's just so gold. It's unbelievable to even mention the word prayer. There's a God there. It's so good when I hear my children use the word prayer and God. Always challenges, almost always the dirt. But he still used the word prayer and God. And that meant that I gave to him what my grandmother gave to me. And it's so good. You talking about cry? Yes, I get fools. But it's so good. Prayer, just leave it to God and he'll turn it around for you. I ain't scared of this doggone virus or whatever. Everybody wants to say this. God is there. I ain't worried about it. But it's just good. It just choke you. I'm sorry. And Ms. Lindsay, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you came out all right. But Lord, God is good. And I've learned that a long way. He brought me a mighty long way. And each year, I learned that each year that I graduate. And get deeper in this doggone book, it just make you cry.
Amen.
Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is a joy just to sit here and listen to you all discuss prayer and know that it's not a hoax. It's for real.
Mm-hmm.
It's for real because God has blessed me to see and know what he has done in this family. And the things that you all have laid out for us this evening, if we all take that, we will all be in good hands. Because it's for real. And I was a little girl when I found out the power of prayer. My mother had severe asthma to the point where couldn't have curtains to the wall. My dad spent $25 for her to have a sponge pillow. That's a lot of money back in the day. Spent much for a pillow. And they'd have to put some stuff like a powder, and you put it in a little can, the top of the can, and burn it. And when I first came to Washington, and I smelled that odor, and they said that was marijuana. I never heard of marijuana, didn't know what it was all about. But they would lock her up in that room and pray, and that was the only way she could breathe. And so this particular Saturday, the Holiness Church came to our house. They anointed they came early because they were in there for a long time. And they anointed my mother with oil. And they prayed. And they sang. And they praised the Lord. And you know what? When they came out of that room,
come on, man.
Not a day after that did my mother suffer with asthma, and she lived.
Hallelujah.
So that's when I knew for myself.
That's right.
That God is real. Prayer is real.
Uh-huh.
But you got to live it. And even with his mercy and grace, he will still heal you and bring you through.
That's right.
And in my life, Lord have mercy. I used to look at my mom and I used to say, what is it, Lord? She has such an assurance that, and she would walk away and once she'd pray, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this all of my life with my right foot almost cut off. Never took me to the hospital or nothing. Put mercurochrome, that purple stuff, pure alcohol, name it, and prayer.
Yeah.
And she said it bothered her because she said, Lord, it's in your hands. I've done everything I can do. But you see, I'm still got my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, come on.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Only can he heal your body. This
yeah.
house that I'm living in, we put the whole thing of the picture of the house over this bed, and we prayed every night for this house. Not this house,
mm-hmm.
but another house.
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
is so good, he gave us the biggest house out here.
Mm-hmm.
We
didn't
Come on,
pray
man.
For this house, we prayed for another house. When I learned how to drive, I was petrified to drive. And my husband did a dumb thing. I couldn't drive. But I tell you what, the next day, oh my God. I went and bought me a car, couldn't drive it.
Come on.
But I did have my own money. That's
yeah.
why I got his own.
Yeah.
I went into the car dealership and bought a brand new car. Couldn't drive it. The salesman bought the car, drove the car home, and the sales manager took him back home. My husband took the keys. I went and got another set of keys. I went to Easy Method, took two lessons. Sheila and Pastor, I went to y'all's house.
Mm-hmm.
The old great man.
Yes, Jesus. They know I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. God
right.
is a good God. Prayer works.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
When it all ended up, I had took two driver's lessons. My husband took me off the insurance. He said, you're going to kill somebody. You can't drive. I went to that mother's house,
yeah.
called the insurance company. He said, Violet, don't worry about a thing. I'm a back date dish. You covered.
All right.
I got my insurance. I got my car. Been driving.
Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
I could go on forever.
Yes, he will.
That was just the power of prayer.
Amen.
The power of prayer. But that is all we know in a family. And when people look at us and we look at our children, they think we're lying. But it's not a lie.
Mm.
I look at Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Pastor.
Yeah.
I look at Jessica. I look at all of our
mm-hmm.
children.
Yeah.
How God has maneuvered and blessed them because they have had incurable diseases that we
yeah.
thought was impossible.
Yeah.
But
oh,
look
man.
What God did.
Look
yeah.
what God
did. Just last Monday, my nephew had the
COVID.
Mm-hmm. Help me, Pastor.
COVID.
Disease.
COVID-19.
COVID-19.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And we, on Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock, we pray for every member in that family. And I had started praying before Bible, before prayer, morning meditation.
Mm-hmm.
When I got off of that phone, I took some oil, a bottle of olive oil out the cabinet. I prayed over that oil. I've seen my mama do it many a day.
Yep.
I anointed yeah. myself with oil, like Pastor them do when they anoint you at the altar. Prayed over that oil, held it in my hand with that bow Bible on my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed for my nephew and his children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when after the prayer, I texted him early
mm-hmm.
that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when he picked up that phone, he said, Lord, I knew somebody was praying for me.
Praying for me. Come on.
Yes, he did. Yes,
there it is.
On fire, he said, that a prayer war, them prayer warriors, you got are awesome. I was in so much pain. I don't mean to take up y'all's time, but it's so good. It feels so
yeah.
good to talk about what God's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
What he did.
Amen.
And God knows he's been okay ever since.
That's right.
Amen.
You got that breakthrough. You got to have the connection
yeah.
with God
yeah.
and know he is who he is. And to hear you all talk about it and know it's real.
Mm-hmm.
My God. It's
Amen.
The old believe you how sweet it is. About good Lord and what he can do for you.
That's right.
I'm a living testimony. A living testimony. It's so good to have God in your life. And not only for you, but you pray for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to reach out and touch someone. And all the things that you all have discussed tonight for us, it's real. It's not just a word coming out your mouth. But when you know it and you share it with others, and you can go back to his word and see that it's real, and if you go by step what it tells you to do, being obedient,
mm-hmm.
reaching out, praying for somebody else. I went to 3 churches over the weekend, got food not for me, but I shared it with other people that I knew needed
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
God is so good, y'all. And he answers. It's an assurance you can't even describe. The things that he can do and will do.
Amen.
I can't speak for nobody else, but you children know. Y'all, we have lived it together. God has blessed us to live together, to be able to brought up in the admonition of God. Just like God told their parents to do, they did it. And they did it for theirs from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, she came home, I wasn't even expecting this last time. She said, go see by my mama. And she's been here with me because she knew I had to stay well to see after my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, not just for me, but from our church.
Amen.
The outreach of our church is so powerful. The prayer warriors on our prayer line are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. When you know that you know the Lord, and you know when you call on him, he's there all the time. Lord, I think I got to get off here. I'll be here all night. Take up other people's time.
Yeah.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Pastor Greg. I thank you, Sheila. And all these people on this line, you don't know what you mean to me.
Amen.
Thank God. I pray for you all the time. Yes, I do. Yeah,
the
know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you. We thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 5904. You're on the air.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad to be back with you all.
Amen.
Again, long overtime, but I said tonight is my night back. Listen to everybody. There's so many things that I could say about prayer, and I know that prayer does work. And listen to how Sheila and Reverend Gregory talked about their daughter and her, you know, surgery at Children's Hospital. I remember when my son had to go to Children's Hospital, and he had a severe sinus infection. And when I found out, you know, he had, you know, this, you know, sinus problem and that it had affected his brain and everything, and he was paralyzed on one side, he lost his vision, and he was dying. That's what the doctors say. And then my mom and everybody came up, Juana and Pastor and other family members, and everybody prayed. But for me, I couldn't accept it, and knowing that I had another child too, and but just from their prayers alone helped me to understand, because one, I didn't know what to do. I'm going to be honest. I didn't know what to do. I knew, you know, prayer would help, but I didn't know how to pray. you know, especially for my child, because I didn't want him to be in that predicament. And everybody, you know, stood with me and we prayed about it. And it took a while, but I knew that at the end, when I saw the things that were happening, I knew that God was the only one who took care of my son through everything. And I remember my mom telling me that when the doctors willed him in, because he had two surgeries in one day, they had to remove lesions on his brain. They had to scrape his sinuses, but he was still paralyzed and everything. And my mother told the doctors, now you take care of my grandson and you let God lead you to do what you need to do. And he said, that's the only one that's going to, you know, be in there. I'm going to do the work, but he's going to do the miracle. And when he came, you know, it took time. You know, he had a couple relapses, but through all in all, I know that everybody was praying for him throughout. And now he has a family of his own.
Amen.
Got his master's degree.
Only
so doing good. And I know there was nothing but God. And then there was another incident where we took him back because they had to replace the bone they took out of the top of his head. So the doctor had did all the tests and everything, came back, felt his head, looked at a spot on nine, and he went back, said, I'll be right back, came back. He said, you know what? That bone, they grew back.
I said, come on now.
That's God. Okay? So they didn't have to take that bone that they took out to put back because God had already fixed that bone.
Hallelujah.
You know, and that was his blessing to him, to let him know, I'm not going to let them cut you anymore. I'll fix it. And that's what he did. And then my daughter, she was telling me she was coming home, and the driver that she was with had drifted off to sleep, and they were on the wrong side of the road, going down the wrong way. And I said, she told me that she shook them, and they got back in the right lane. And I said, but you know what? I said, before you left, I prayed. I said, some kept saying,
Lord have mercy.
You ain't right. So I prayed. I said, God, I said, take care of her. I said, put a hedge of protection around her and cover her goings and comes until she come back in this house.
Yeah.
And she told me what happened. And I said, you know what? I said, ain't nothing but God. Because I said, you know, I didn't feel right. And then some kept saying, pray for. And when I found out what she was facing, death, I said, see? I said, God's good. I said, he's good. And I said, he hear praise. And she said, you know what, Mama, you're right. And hearing my mom and grandma and everybody talking about, you know, that sometimes all you got to do is just sit and hum. And then we said, why you got to hum for? She said, because that way you're talking to God.
Yeah.
And the devil don't understand that.
That's
and sometimes
right.
I see the grandmother sit in the chair and rock and be humming. And I'll say, no, what you sing? She said, you don't understand. I said, well, Grandma, I said, sounds good. Yeah, but she was talking to God in her own way, you know. And I do believe in prayer, but I know that prayer changes all things. And my mom always say, you know, prayer changes everything. But you got to pray from the heart, you know, and you have to be sincere in your prayers. And I'm a firm believer, you know. Don't pray for things that you don't want, but you pray for God's guidance and assistance because it's his will and not ours. Because when we pray for things that we want, God don't give them to us because, you know, we're not going to be appreciative.
Right.
You know, when he feels things are right, he will bless us according to his will and not ours. So
amen.
I just keep going and say, thank you, Lord. Keep it moving.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your testimony tonight. We go to our next caller, last four digits, 1712. 1712, you on there?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, some powerful testimonies. You guys definitely have a good question for the night. But, you know, I remember so many times in my life where, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, your parents tell you, you know, always pray before you eat your meal, always pray before you go to sleep. And, you know, as a child, you know, I had my same prayer, but, you know, as I got older and started to understand God and understand the Bible, I realized that, you know, those were just words. I really wasn't praying. I was just going through the motions, as people would say. But then when I started to fall on hard times and I started to really not understand why I was going through certain things in life, or as I was asking for things and I wasn't receiving them, I said, you know what, something's wrong, something's not right, or I'm missing something. So as I got closer to the word, that's when I realized, and also talked to some folks, that's when I realized the true importance and power of prayer. You know, I think when we go to God in prayer, it's one way that I can connect and have communication with God. But a lot of times, too, for me, it also gives me clarity. It calms my spirit. It allows me to kind of focus more on what God is trying to reveal to me in his own time. And I've prayed, as I'm sure everybody has on this call, pray for a better job. Pray for just maybe a mate at a certain point in my life. Pray for, you know, health. Pray for all these different things. And as the young lady stated, you know, God felt that, you know, maybe at that time I wasn't ready to receive that blessing because I wouldn't know how to appreciate it. I wouldn't know how to take care of it. You know, I remember when I had surgery for the first time in my life and I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, God, why now? You know, I'm just trying to get things going, and it seemed like I was picking up some momentum, and then God had to sit me down, and, you know, he had to kind of cripple me for, say, just for me to be able to sit down and kind of learn some things and put things into perspective. And ultimately, you know, that's how I ended up in New Birth. But I didn't pray for that. I didn't pray for that situation. And I think it's crazy sometimes how God works, because it's like sometimes when you pray for things, how do you react when God gives you something else? And then you realize, like, that's what I wanted, but I didn't know at the time. You know, I'm praying for X. God's like, no, I'm going to give you Y, and then see how you feel. And then you're like, wait a minute, this is working. And I think sometimes, too, we ask for things and we don't realize that God knows it's exactly what we need, not necessarily what we want, but it's what we need. And I think sometimes, at least for me, I had to realize that when I ask God for things, it's a want. It was always a want. It was always a desire. It wasn't the necessity. And I had to realize, too, what was important. And I gained all those things, and I became well-versed in those things when I started utilizing things that I went through in my life and realized, like, okay, there's a formula here. Like, when I'm going through something, I need to pray about it. I need to get myself in the right mindset. And somewhere throughout that ordeal, somewhere throughout that hardship, God's going to reveal some things to me. But, you know, it is a process. But, you know, prayer is truly powerful. I believe prayer can do all things. It can heal. It can help us overcome. It could stabilize us. I didn't even know what it was. I had people praying for me when I was a kid, just making sure I was going to be all right. And I'm like, hey, people praying, boy, like I'm about to, you know, whatever. But I realized the importance of it, and it blankets everything. I mean, there's not one thing that you can go through where prayer doesn't have an answer for, where prayer isn't the remedy for it. So it's almost like a universal thing that God has given mankind, that God has given Christians, to say, you know, when in doubt, or if you want to give praise, prayer doesn't always have to be an ask or a need. Sometimes you want to just pray and say, thank you, God,
amen,
for whatever it is. There's nothing too big or nothing too small, but prayer, you know, as I learned, it's not about just asking God for something or only going to God when things are going bad. Like, all right, God, tried it my way. Let me go ahead and get down on my knees and pray. But sometimes you can just thank God for things that are going right. You can thank God for things that you have. You can just say, God, thank you for the breath in my body. And the great part is this. You don't have to be in a specific place. You could be in front of an Outback Steakhouse.
Yep.
You could be in your bedroom. You could be on your job. You could be in the restroom. You can be anywhere and everywhere. And you can still pray. You can be in the midst of a storm. You could be in the midst of a fight with somebody, or get ready to be in a fight, or just in the middle of whatever it is you're going through, and you can still pray. You don't have to be on your knees. You could just say a silent prayer to yourself. It's so crazy how there's so many mechanisms and ways we can pray, and it's so universal and has so many limitless possibilities, but yet we fail to do it. I've failed to do it. It's something that I can do outside of just going to church on Sunday, or outside of just doing it on a Thursday night call or a Wednesday night call. I can pray anytime I want, all day, every day, you know, but it's truly important. It's something that I've definitely adopted, tried to also share with other people the importance of prayer, because sometimes that's all you need. I don't know about you guys, but when I pray and I'm serious and I really dial in and I really focus upon efforts, it seems like once that prayer is over, there's like a burden, a weight has been lifted off my shoulder, been lifted off my spirit, and I feel new, and I say, you know what, I'm ready to tackle, or I'm ready to continue to endure until God reveals for me whatever it is, you know, he wants to. But one thing I thank God for, I thank God for the people that prayed for me, because granted, I have
decisions
and I have to do things in my life, but guess what, before I got to that point, I had people praying for me, people that I probably didn't even know were praying for me, God, to keep me and allow me to continue to grow and develop until I was able to do it on my own. But I know I had a praying mother and a praying father and a praying grandmother, and then people in the church praying for me, family members praying for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I found out when I got older, it seemed like half of my neighborhood, you know, was praying for me, you know, my brothers and my family, because they knew we had a good Christian upbringing. Because, you know, you kids, you get into stuff happens. And I didn't realize how many people I had praying for me. But guess what? When I found out, I went and thanked every one of them, saying, you know what? Thank you for praying over me. Thank you
for
being an intricate part of my life and keeping us on the straight and narrow and helping our families out to raise me and my brothers to make sure that we did what we were able to do. But guess what? It started with the power of prayer. I couldn't get there without the power of prayer. And I think when we realize how powerful prayer is, no matter what this world throws at us, no matter what the enemy throws at us, we're prepared to conquer everything. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. What's your Jesus? Powerful Bible study and testimony. As you would give us your final comments and close us out with prayer, please.
Amen. My final comment is we all understand the power of prayer, and let us continue to pray for each other. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another lesson. We thank you, Father, mostly for how you allow us to expound on your word and then apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray for each and every one that's on this call that we will take your word, hide it in our hearts, and apply it in our lives. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.